Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Recently, there was an opinion piece in the New York Times written by Kim Brooks. It was titled, "We Have Ruined Childhood. For youngsters these days, an hour of free play is like a drop of water in the desert. Of course, they're miserable." Now, there's no doubt about it. Our children are more depressed than any generation of children before. They feel lonely and isolated, and some real clinical depression. Is the problem that they don't simply get enough free time? Do we just fill up their schedules so much that we are making them unhappy? Or is there a deeper problem that is not isolated or limited to the children? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be talking about the need for parental attention. Auguste Mayrod joins us. He's an English teacher in Dallas, senior editor of The Everyman, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, "Children Don't Need More Free Time, They Need More Attention from Their Parents." Auguste, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello.
You say that Kim Brooks has correctly diagnosed the problem with loneliness and isolation of children. What is it?
Well, I would agree with her that there is a, well, the kids are sad. She's talking about the iGen, and that's the work it's the group I work with as a teacher. And yeah, they're the lonely bunch. And I think the loneliness factor is really what's causing them to be sad and depressed. And I think she attributes it to phones. Well, she doesn't attribute it to phones. She originally did. And then she decided, no, it's something else. The phones are a symptom of that. But yeah, I agreed with her on that point that the kids of this generation is definitely not as happy. And I think there are some emotional issues that we can try to solve.
Where do you disagree with Brooks?
So I disagree with her. Well, she talks about the fact that kids just need more free time. You know, she advocates this type of free-range parenting thing that's pretty popular. And it's just the idea that, oh, well, the kids are working too hard and we put too much pressure on them and their time is too structured. Therefore, we just need to stop doing all that and just go back to the good old days where kids just go out and play and everything will be fine. And I disagree with her on that point because I think that kids need more than just free time. They need their parents back. And that's what my article was really about. It's just like, well, parents need to socialize, not only with their kids, but also with other parents, and kind of cultivate a home environment that nurtures social behavior and emotional wellness.
Why do many children fear personal interaction?
Because they don't have a lot of experience with it. So I think at an early age, it really starts when the kids are toddlers, when they're babies, that the kids are given a phone, they're given something to watch to keep them busy. And so there are not a lot of play dates. And I think the parents, a lot of times, outsource socializing to a daycare, then to school. And so the kids never really have a relationship with their parents. They never really have a relationship with other kids. They're just kind of put there. They're next to other kids and they're just bumping along with them. But I think that's the problem. The problem is that no one ever models socializing. No one ever models conversation, and no one ever does that for them. It's just assumed that they'll pick it up if they're in an environment like a daycare or a school.
Do you see this kind of loneliness and isolation in your classroom?
I do. Some kids are obviously, they're okay, and they have a pretty happy, healthy home environment. But others, yeah, they're shy. They're extremely nervous. I work with teenagers, so, that's when they become more interested in dating and maybe, or they have close friendships. And they're very scared of rejection. They don't know how to open up conversation. They don't really have anyone to confide in. And so you find that they're interested in games, like video games. They'll throw themselves into that, or they do social media, And so it's a lot of these superficial forms of relationships, or else these pastimes or distractions. And so they never have the opportunity to just talk about what's going on inside of them. They never have the opportunity to empathize. And they're just really scared to make new friends or to ask a girl out or ask a guy out. And so I do notice this. And, you know, obviously they like me. I mean, and I'm happy to say that, because I try to give them the tools as an English teacher, how to talk to other people, how to converse, how to make your argument. And for a lot of them, you know, they find that pretty liberating, and it's just something that they've never had experience with before. And that's the type of thing that surprises me.
You say that cutting off the screen time, while it may be a good idea in some cases, is not going to solve this problem. Why is that?
Well, yeah, because I think, and I guess I've encountered this sometimes just with people that I know, is that the parents just, you know, all of a sudden they get upset that their kid is just spending too much time on the computer or spending too much time on the internet. And so they, you know, restrict it and they take it away, and the kid just sits there not knowing what to do, and they're pretty miserable. And the parent doesn't know what to do because they've never really developed a relationship and topics of conversation to have on a regular basis. So I think just taking away phones, it could be a good thing, but you need to replace that emptiness with something. So if you take away a kid's phone or you take away their video games, you know, you need to be willing to say, okay, well, I'm willing to spend some time with you. Let's go to the library. Let's go to the park. Let's go play basketball or play some sports. I mean, this is something that my wife and I have, you know, committed to. So we have two young children, one's 2 years old, one's 1 year old, and we don't try to rely on screens. I mean, they don't get to have a TV or anything. Well, that's fine, but they need something to do. And so that forces us to, I mean, and it's a good thing, but it forces us to read to them, forces us to talk with them and take them to the park and do activities with them. And these are bonding moments. And I think a lot of kids don't really get to grow up with these bonding experiences. And so that's why I think taking a screen away, and that's that, is not enough. You need to, if you take something away, you need to replace it with something. And I think you replace it with yourself, with, you know, just your presence and just with social interaction.
You take issue with Brooke's statements that our culture has left parents entirely on their own when it comes to their offspring's well-being and forces parents to warehouse their youngsters for long stretches of time. How do you disagree with that?
Well, because I don't think parents are forced to do these things. These are choices. I think parents like to make it out like, I never had a choice. I had to do daycare. I had to go work. Well, no. You decided to go to work because you wanted a nicer house or you wanted nicer things. You could have made the sacrifice, but you didn't. And so, I mean, and again, it's a hard choice. But if you're ready to have kids, that means you should be ready to be a parent. And that means making yourself available. And so when Brooks just says, oh, society forces a parent to, you know, go to work, a society forces a parent to put their kids in a daycare, no, not necessarily. I mean, society, I think, normalizes it and says it's okay. And I don't think, you know, is very uncritical about it. And I think it's fine to be understanding about parents who need to make that, you know, to make that trade-off. But no, I think parents have a choice to dump their kids on a daycare. That said, even if they do make that choice, or, you know, they're sending their kids to school and they're older, I mean, you should do that. But I think parents still have the option to do things with their kids after school or on the weekends. And it's in those times, too, that parents decide, well, I'm just going to give my kid an iPad. I'd like to just kind of relax, or I need to spend more time at work. And so these are choices that parents make. And I don't think they're forced upon by society or anything like that.
Is this a problem of isolation and loneliness limited to the children?
Not at all. And that was something else I really wanted to address in my article, and I do it a little bit, but I think parents need to socialize more. I think we need to have more of a social culture among adults, like adults, you know, inviting people over for dinner, going over for dinner, having barbecues, scheduling play dates. A lot of these things, a lot of adults don't interact with each other. I mean, that's something that my wife and I have found out. We try to connect with other parents. We try to schedule time to meet with them and talk about parenting and have the kids play. And it's pretty difficult. It's difficult because I think a lot of adults, a lot of parents don't prioritize social time. They don't prioritize having dinners, having guests, opening up their house to people. So I think that this contributes to the kids. I mean, the kids just kind of see their parents spend their evening watching Netflix. They see their parents playing video games, going on Facebook, going on their phone. And how are the kids supposed to be all social and, you know, learn all these manners and etiquette and learn how to form relationships when they see their own parents just kind of being homebodies and not doing this stuff? You know, I think it's good for the parent to model this and to have friends of their own and to have people over and to model social behavior.
You say that many parents like the idea of having children, but not the reality of having children. What do you mean by that?
I think there's a difference between wanting to have kids and wanting to be a parent. When you want to have kids, you're just thinking about the image like, well, I have kids and I can outsource all these responsibilities to a daycare, a school, after school programs, coaches, teachers, even therapists, grandparents. So I think that's just having children is different from being a parent. So when you have a kid or you want to have a kid, you're like, well, I want to teach them how to read. I want to read to them. I want to play with them. I want to teach them how to play sports. I want them to meet my friends, and I want them to make friends, and I want to show them how you make friends and act nice to people. So I think the desire to be a parent is different from the desire to have children. So some people, you know, might not be very happy with themselves or with their lives, and they say, well, maybe I should have children, and then my life will be fulfilled, and I'll be happy or content. Whereas I think that's the wrong way to approach it. I think it's more like, I've reached a point in my life where I can help other people, where I can have a child and kind of teach them how to live and sustain them and keep them, you know, healthy. So that's the difference I see, is just not just having kids, but really wanting to be a parent.
Is this why so many parents outsource the raising of their children in all those ways that you described before, when, although the decision would be difficult, they could actually prioritize their life in such a way as to spend time raising their own kids?
Yeah, I do. And I try to be understanding, but when someone says, oh, I want to have another kid, I'm like, well, yeah, but what happens when you have the kid? You take a few weeks off of your job, and then you kind of send them somewhere for someone to take care of them, and you're just paying that part of your paycheck to that. I mean, your life essentially doesn't change too much, and they're just being raised by somebody else. But I think there actually is a cultural message, and I would say this is cultural, where parents are told that they should rely on experts. I mean, this, you know, applies to other domains in life as well, but parenting for sure. I think mothers are made insecure. Like, you don't know anything. Listen to your doctor. You don't know anything. Listen to this child care expert. And so I think a lot of parents learn not to trust themselves. And they learn, like, well, gosh, I should probably send my kid to this daycare, which is the equivalent of Harvard for, you know, two-year-olds. So I think there's where the problem is. I think parents are discouraged from being parents. I think they're encouraged to work at their jobs, do what they're good at, and then leave the parenting things, which they see as a job rather than a relationship. They're encouraged to just give that up to, you know, institutions and organizations that, you know, are licensed and all that.
How do parents reverse this trend toward isolation? Doesn't sound like it will be easy.
It's not easy, but it's fun, you know? I think the trend is spend more time with your kids. And I think really make an effort to reach out to friends, reach out to strangers, and to really start having a social life, and starting with your own kid, and start looking at your relationship with your kid. Don't look at your responsibilities for your child, what you have to do for them, but talk about just knowing your child and spending time with them. So I think it's a matter of just making the time for bonding, making the time for relationships, and having more trust in yourself and other parents, but having your trust in yourself, and don't feel like you have to schedule your kid in some activity or send them off to some organization or institution to raise your child. So that's what I would say. And it takes time. It's much worthwhile. So, yeah.
Are you concerned, as someone who deals with young people every day, about what kind of parents they are going to turn out to be, given how many of them are being raised in this kind of isolation?
I am concerned, and I think a lot of them will probably not want to be parents. We're already seeing that in a lot of surveys and polls, you know, iGen and millennials, my generation, people don't want to be parents. And, you know, they don't, and they might give reasons for environmentalism or something like that, but really it's just people want to be on their own. They want to be free. And they see other people, they see relationships as a drag. And so that's my biggest fear, is that children never get to experience family. They never get to experience home. They never get to experience their parents and the love of a parent. And so when they grow up, they're not going to really see any kind of appeal or desire to be parents themselves. And so I think a lot of them will opt to be single. A lot of them will live a lot of their lives on the internet, kind of in a virtual world. And I think a lot of them will disengage with relationships in the real world. And so I see the loneliness becoming just an issue forever after. And that bothers me. And I really hope that we can create families, warm environments for children, so they see the goodness and wonder of having a family, because it's a beautiful thing that can make you very happy.
Auguste Mehra is an English teacher in Dallas, senior editor of The Everyman, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Children Don't Need More Free Time, They Need More Attention from Their Parents. You can read it and find out more about The Everyman at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Auguste, thank you very much.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, it's time to take up that subject that has been making the rounds for about a week now in social media. President Trump, who tweets on a regular basis, sent out a tweet last Wednesday that really caught people's attention. He was quoting a conservative radio talk show host who described the president as the King of Israel, second coming of God. Sarah Polium Bailey, religion reporter for The Washington Post, will be our guest after this.
Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.